You heard the findings and the recommendations coming in from the Lancet series. When we think about those recommendations and how change will happen, we really have to think about how that begins. And it really starts with a conversation a woman has with her provider, sharing the expectations for the care that she will receive. It continues then with the community and the providers and policymakers coming together and discussing the vital changes that need to happen at that level. And then it happens when communities come together to advocate for improved services at the local or national level in their countries. The series certainly serves as an inspiration for advocates on the ground, but it's really up to them to do the legwork. And we really, this cannot happen without a commitment and continued and sustained resources for social accountability. In this process, we really always need to keep women at the center of care, at the center of policies, and at the center of advocacy efforts. How do we do that? We become intentional about having women who use these services present when decisions are made about their care. We make sure we ask women how they experience care and what they would recommend for improvements. And when we do this, the most amazing thing happens. These women become their own advocates. They advocate for the change that they want to see to make sure that they get the best care that they can. And today, I want to bring to you the images and words of some of these women who the White Ribbon Alliance Uganda interviewed in September. This is Janet. She's 30 years old and has one child. And these are her words. When I went to the facility, the first challenge I met was accessibility. The site of antenatal care, the steps and beds were high, so the staff decided to check me from the office on the wheelchair. But still, even entering the office was not easy because the steps were high. I had to come out of the wheelchair to enter while crawling. When someone with disability goes to antenatal or to deliver, they ask us why we become pregnant. Yet all of us women, we have the same body functions. If I was president, I would make the hospitals accessible for women with disabilities where the ramps are put everywhere so that entering is accessible and then also the beds would be accessible for women with disabilities, preferably adjustable beds. And I would also put a wall for midwives to respect mothers with disabilities and also ensure enough space in the maternity. This is Namakula, she's 20 and has one child. These are her words. I delivered at the referral hospital. They take long to receive you at the reception, and if you're the kind of woman who delivers very fast, you could deliver at the entrance. I went with some requirements to the hospital, gloves, mama kit, and bed sheets. But the hospital is supportive. I received postnatal care. The government should ask doctors to stop charging too much money for cesarean section deliveries. And it's not fixed. Some people are charged the equivalent of $60, others the equivalent of $180. The beds are not enough. Even those who have gone through C-sections at times sleep on the floor. And this is Wako, she's 34 and is a mother of three. And these are again her words. I always give birth at the main hospital. The hospital was clean. I liked the services and nurses took care of me. There's no privacy in the delivery ward. Take, for example, the main hospital. There's no privacy at all. There are around 7-8 beds for delivery and each woman has an attendant, which means if you are giving birth now, the other attendants are also seeing you. There's no privacy at all. At least let them give us private rooms where everyone can give birth. But each attendant of every person on those beds can see you. And if I didn't have this heart of giving birth in the hospital, I would run away because there's no privacy at all. There's some shy ladies. Those shy ladies would not go there because they can deliver when other women are seeing them. These are just three women in one country, but there are millions who need and want their voices to be heard. The voices of women, families, and communities must be the starting point and not the afterthought when we prioritize efforts at the local or national level. Let's commit now to listen to them and to ensure quality, equity, and dignity for every woman and every baby everywhere. Thank you.